existence. In existence, join the resistance. Come on, let's start by talking tactics. Have a pass and match us. Here's how we practice. The Lost Start a Conversation.
Hey everybody, this is John Elliott.
This is Patrick Riccardi.
And this is Pop Culture Continuum. Take it away, Pat.
Well, today we're talking about two rock movies, I guess. One rockumentary and one rockumentary. First, from the past, is this is Spinal Tap. And more recently is, what's the name of the Iron Maiden?
It's Iron Maiden Flight 666.
Yes.
And for all the family to enjoy.
Yeah, it is a family film.
Let's start with Spinal Tap, I guess. Well, we were just talking about it. What can you really... I don't know. It's uncriticable, basically.
Really? It's a classic. If you talk about a scene, people have talked about these scenes. It goes up to 11. It's kind of a part of the culture. It's a phrase now. It's not just a joke. So, it is critique-free. It's a very funny movie.
Yeah, I mean, we were both just saying we'd seen it about a million times too. But I was still surprised this time watching it for this, how many jokes per square inch there are of this thing. I mean, it's like, it's almost Airplane level of jokes, although different type of humor from Airplane.
Oh yeah. I was a little surprised since I've seen it a million times, but I haven't actually watched it all the way through in many years. I was surprised how different it was from the more recent Christopher Guest movies, like the Waiting for Guffman, Mighty Wind, and in the fact that there's a lot of hokey humor in with the fake documentary type of humor. Like there's a lot of there's some physical humor. There's
are you talking about in Spinal Tap or in the more
in
recent
Spinal
movies?
Tap? Yeah. I was just surprised that it was a little bit more traditional than I remembered.
Well, it's unlike Airplane in that way too, because Airplane, the humor is all of a piece. And here, like you said, there's some subtle humor. There's some witty humor. There's some slapstick, basically,
mm-hmm.
humor.
Puns. Mine is money.
What? Oh my God, the worst pun in the whole movie. Of course it came from Billy Crystal. You there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm getting freaked out about these getting cut out now. Yeah, mime is money.
And was that Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey was the other mime, yeah.
That it was... that brings the other thing I thought about as I watched the movie, because sometimes people have talked about it and mentioned that the first time they saw it back at the time, they thought it was a real documentary. And I can't get over it. And part of it is me seeing these actors who are really famous
so
now,
well
I guess,
known.
Back then. But you start the movie with Rob Reiner, who just came off of 10 years being on All in the Family. So I don't know what they're talking about when they say that, because he's not acting as himself. He has another character in the movie, and he looks – I guess the beard might have thrown them off. I'm not sure.
I guess he had gained some weight since All in the Family too, but
yeah,
it was pretty obviously him, Marty DeBerge. I think just the fact that they played it so straight as a documentary might have thrown people off. You know, even the credits is like, this is Spinal Tap, a documentary by Marty DeBerge. You know, there was
it never stops.
And you know, the fake interviews with the concert attendees. Yeah, I remember. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I remember people at the time going, "Was this a real band? I don't remember hearing of them." But yeah, like when you watch it now, it's so obvious, you know, Fran Drescher. At that time, Howard Hessman appears in it.
Yeah, and he's
who
was
from WKRP. Everybody knew who he was. Mr. Bentley from the Jeffersons is the hotel
right,
clerk.
I was thinking the movie was older, but he was Mr. Bentley by that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was pretty famous, yeah.
Yeah, so people were just dipshits. I mean, it's, you know, people didn't get that Freddie Mercury was gay either, so...
I didn't hear that he was. I'm waiting for the movie to find out.
The Borat.
I hope it is exactly like Borat too. It's played for laughs.
I do hope he gets naked with a obese man in it.
I hope that every day about everything.
Well, this, yeah, looking at it now, it's so obviously, I mean, even then, with the drummer exploding on stage,
Yeah, well, that's by the yeah, people are singing when they come out of the theater. It's just that comes at the end of the movie. So at that point, if you haven't figured it out, you're never going to figure it out because, yeah.
Yeah, you probably think reality shows are real life too. Yeah, I actually wrote down Mime is Money just because it was such a Billy Crystal-ish joke.
It didn't really fit with the rest of the movie, but I don't know. It
Well,
was
I
there.
noticed there. I mean, I still noticed things that I hadn't before. There was another pun in here where they're talking about their record being big on the Isle of Lucy, which was a pun that I never got caught before.
So I that hit my ears too. So they're just making it sound like I Love Lucy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Something I had never caught before, and it's probably something famous that everyone talks about, is the show got canceled in Boston.
Yeah, it's not a big college town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the audience, I remember the audience laughed at that in the theater when I saw it, and I didn't get it because I was like 14
Right,
at the
yeah.
time. I didn't know where the hell any colleges were. But yeah. But
And
it.
that was one of those subtle jokes. He says it in such a low voice, and it's just thrown away because they change scenes almost immediately.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I really enjoyed that too. It was really well put together and edited. A lot of reaction shots were just awesome. I don't know if you noticed any of that. Just people's reactions to the idiocy going on around them.
Yeah, the I can't remember the manager's name, but he had a few of them, like
Yeah, Ian.
this
Yeah.
Ian, the scene where they're talking about,
Money walks, bullshit talks. That was one I remember.
yeah. Well, the one I was thinking of was when Christopher Guest, what his Nigel, is going through the sandwich. The bread is too small for the meat, and there was a reaction shot during that. So that was, yeah.
Yeah, that was a, I was laughing again watching this. It was just so well observed, I feel like. The that I that scene made me laugh with him talking about the bread being too small on the canapé tray in the backstage.
I was laughing at things where I knew they were coming. Like I mentioned, it goes up to 11. In spite of myself, I laughed at that. I mean, I knew what he was going to say, and by the time he got to the end, I still laughed because it's just well put together.
That yeah, that whole scene with him going through his guitars. He's got the one guitar you
Oh,
can't even
don't.
look at. Don't look
Yes.
at it. It can never be
That might be
played.
the best scene in the movie, in fact. It was just kind of out there, and it's very funny.
And you wonder how much of this was actually improvised and how much was written. I have
You
no
know what I
idea.
thought about that a lot is in the opening scene when they're first talking to the band, and Harry Shearer says he choked on his own vomit, the previous
On
drummer.
someone else's vomit.
Oh yeah, on someone else's vomit, and Christopher Guest says you can't dust for that.
You can't dust for vomit, right?
I often wonder if that just came up impromptu or if that was something written. It's just such a funny line.
I really hope it was impromptu because that's genius if it is. Yeah, there were a lot, just a lot of, I mean, things I'd noticed before, but watching again, they just impressed me, like the, Michael McKean, David and Nigel both had herpes on their lips, and
Yeah.
at one point they just went completely unmentioned. Some things that I noticed that were very much a part of the time, like the keyboard player is playing Atari on the bus,
Yeah.
and they're all marveling at the technology, and the Sears and Kmart refusing to sell the album.
Now Sears and Kmart are the same company.
And they don't sell albums. And nobody sells albums anymore. Yeah, like I said, I don't even know what you can say about this. Everybody's seen this movie, but it really is one of the funniest movies, I think, of the at least of the 80s.
I agree with that. Yeah, it makes you it feels kind of unfortunate that Rob Reiner didn't do more comedies that were so I don't know how to put it. It's just so, I don't, not funny. Funny is too simple, because funny is just, it's just so approachable for a long time. Like, I guess, like, I think he made When Harry Met Sally, and people loved that movie at the time, but I don't think it holds up. I don't remember liking it at the time, but it might have been above my head when
well,
it came.
And that was what, Nora Ephron wrote it, I think, right? I always had a problem with that whole thing, because basically Billy Crystal, who I can't stand, was talking through the whole film about how men and women can't be friends. And then in the end, they kind of proved it because they got together. So I really find that like kind of a sexist both ways premise for a story, that men and women can't be friends. Men are always going to want sex, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I've
never seen the movie now that I brought it up.
You've never seen When Harry Met Sally?
No. Thanks for ruining the end.
Sure. So you've of course seen the orgasm scene, I'm sure.
Yeah. Which I don't find especially funny. But
no, I don't either. It's another.
I like the fact that it's his mother with the line.
Yeah. No, that was good, but that's only good in that you know that it was his mother. Yeah, that's something else that became a part of the culture. They did a goddamn shampoo commercial with the exact same joke at some
point. I didn't
point.
Know that.
Yeah, I'll have what she's having.
But yeah, it's not just the funniness that I'm disappointed with. I just, there's something different about this movie. It was, I don't know if it was the Ruddles came before. It was something new, a documentary that wasn't a documentary. So he was doing something that hadn't been done before, or hadn't been done often before, and he was doing it really well. Like his other movies, they might be good. I don't know them all, but they're not so remarkable.
No. I mean, don't speak until you've seen North.
I beg your pardon.
But no, I know what you mean. It is. It's definitely it stands out, and I think it's just the intelligence with which it was made, and you know, the intelligence of the people involved. Obviously, all very good improvisers and comedians in their own right. Well, and speaking of, sorry, now I'm going back to not knowing it was real. It was fucking Michael McKean who was Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he did look a lot different with the long hair, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and the fake British accent.
Yeah,
can throw the dummies off, I guess.
And I guess it was a good British accent. I mean, him and Harry Shearer, I've never heard complaints, but I'm not real good at figuring out if an accent is good or terrible. So.
Yeah, no, all those people sound the same to me. I can't tell a Cockney accent from an upper crust.
So, in my opinion, Dick Van Dyke put the best British performance ever in Mary Poppins.
Of all time. Good day, governor! Yeah. I don't know, man. It's really... What can you say? Everybody knows it. You know all the lines. You know it's such a fine line between stupid and clever. And
I knew that line, but I didn't know the context. So that was... Because that was not Howard Hessman... Right after the Howard Hessman scene.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, how much blacker could it be? And the answer is none more black. just all over shit sandwich.
That was another good reaction, because he says that, which is funny in its own right. And then their reaction, what paper was that in? You can't have that published. That can't be real. And then they just go to black. I would go to the next scene. It's just.
I don't know if you noticed also in that collection of scenes where they're discussing their albums, there was one where a reviewer just like went off and was going into detail about why the album sucked and whatever, and then Nigel goes, well, that's nitpicking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just, like, stuff they do, just very kind of subtle and under-the-radar jokes that you might not even catch the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Christopher Guest has topped this with his any of his other fake documentaries.
They're different.
I guess that's true. This one,
they're still enjoyable. I have not seen all of them, but the ones I've seen, I've been, like Waiting for Guffman was very good, and the dog one, I think it's close to Spinal Tap, the Best of Show.
Oh, I haven't seen Best in Show.
It's very funny.
All right, I'll check it out. Oh, I also...
You know, I just realized that Rob Reiner made Stand By Me, and I think that was a very good film. So.
Oh, that's true. Stand By Me was good. I think, yeah, it should have been named... no, never mind. Not that one. I was thinking of other Stephen King movies for the most part. I think they should all just be titled another Stephen King bestseller that translates poorly to film. But that was that was the exception. I guess some would say The Shining was an exception as well.
I enjoyed The Shining. I think those recent, The Green Mile and what's the one with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman? They were both actually might have been better than the books. The Prison, Shawshank Redemption. Oh,
yeah, everybody loves that one. I think it's decent. I don't really get the greatest movie of all time.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I don't know why you're saying I said that. I just said it was a good movie.
I don't believe I said you said it, Pat. You know what?
I hear what I want to hear.
I'm not the one on trial here. yeah, what? Janine, the girlfriend. I was impressed with her because she did a really good job of playing a total bitch without going over the top.
Yeah.
You got
the
sense that of who she was without her having to chew the scenery with it, you know?
Yeah, there was scenes where you expect her to go off, but she doesn't. But she still gets across that she does not like Nigel.
Right. Just with her eyes a lot of times, yeah.
Their eyes are really, there's a one scene where she's giving out that paperwork and he says he has it and she pretends not to hear and asks again. So Michael McKean has to be like, oh, he has it. So it's funny.
Just what? Yeah, like I said, there. It's pointless to even review this thing. You know, if you haven't seen it,
you should.
And also, if you haven't seen it, you should go fuck yourself. Because you're just missing out on life.
Was that Paul Schaefer?
Paul Schaefer, kick my ass. Kick this ass for a man. We used to, when I was 14, we used to, I don't know why that became our thing to say, Artie Fufkin, Polymer Records, Artie Fufkin. Which isn't even really funny, but yeah. Another one, he was on Letterman at that time. So yeah.
He was out there. Well, he looked, I don't know if he looked like that on Letterman. It seemed like they did something to make him look a little plainer.
Yeah, well, he had also been on Saturday Night Live previous to that, too. Yeah. So it's not like he wasn't known. But should we wrap up Spinal Tap? We're not going to offer valuable insights, I don't think. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I would have thought would have been 100, but you know, there's always somebody. All right, you want to move on to what I'm sure was your thrill of the year, which was Iron Maiden Flight 666. All right, I will say, here's my history. So I saw Iron Maiden in 84 as well, same year Spinal Tap came out. I guess from age like 12 to 14, I was into heavy metal. And by the time I was 14, I was also into punk and alternative and stuff. So that was my last year for heavy metal, and I kind of looked down on it after that. But I saw a few people, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Motorhead, back then. I was pretty into it. And I think when I was 12, it was mostly just like the demonic imagery that I liked, you know, some way to piss your parents off. But they're still going. So this film, this is a documentary from their 2008 tour. And Pat, let's hear your thoughts. This is what I'm interested in. I've got my own thoughts.
Well, just if they hadn't shown the concert bits, I might have thought Iron Maiden was the best band who ever existed. The interviews with everybody was just glowing. It was a puff piece.
It was, yeah. There was, I mean, they billed it as an all access, but they obviously controlled the image on this one, I think.
I don't know that they controlled the image, because it seemed like the person who is the Marty DeBurgi of this documentary was a huge fan, so it would have been difficult for him to find any flaws.
That's true. Yeah, he definitely cast everything in the best light. So you're saying that you were not a fan of the music?
Yeah, I tried to watch the concert bits, but by the end I was on the PS on the where I watched my a lot of stuff on the PS3, and you can hit a button and it makes it so you can still hear it, but it goes a little bit faster. So I did that for
The movie. I think we call that the fast forward button.
No, but I mean, usually fast forward, you can't even hear anything. So at least I could hear it. This was going faster than usual.
Oh, Pat, how dare you? This aggression will not stand.
I did watch it.
All right.
But I was expecting more of a documentary and less of a concert film. So early on, I was a little bit disappointed because I was watching the concert segments, but I was disappointed they weren't showing more about like what the crowd was doing and what was going on backstage.
Because I totally agree with that. I would have liked a more intimate look at the band because I think overall they came off as pretty decent people.
Oh, I agree with that. Everybody in the band seemed like a really great, great people.
And they seemed to be genuinely enjoying themselves on stage. I got the sense, well, maybe you didn't because you didn't watch the concert footage.
No, I thought they were enjoying themselves. I just thought, do we really need the crotch shots that they've had in heavy metal videos since the 80s? Why don't we just show us something more interesting than, you know, things haven't changed that much there. Let's see what the crowd is doing. Let's see what the roadies backstage have to do to make things happen. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed in that.
Oh, now crotch shots are disappointing. I'm sorry. I didn't know we were living in cloud cuckoo land here. Now I know what you mean. I do. I was hoping there were actually a couple Spinal Tap-ish moments in it, but not enough, mostly involving the drummer who was going on and on to the filmmaker when they're at the Aztec ruins. He was going on and on about how the guitarist had disappeared and they couldn't find the guitarist. He obviously wandered off and the dude's standing like 10 feet away. That was pretty good. And also the fact that he got a golf injury in Costa Rica.
Yeah, well, I wasn't surprised that they went to play golf and tennis during non-concert times, but I was a little bit surprised that they went out with the whole golf tennis uniform. They weren't wearing, wearing shirts like that say, I don't know, whatever the golf company, the Titleist or whatever that name was. And they were wearing the tennis outfit. So that made it a little bit funny, the long hair. And they look like they came out of the tennis catalog.
Yeah, definitely not very metal.
No.
Well, the thing about this one was that they had a Boeing 757, they had to get engineers to specially design this thing so that the lead singer, Bruce Dickinson, could pilot the goddamn plane around the world on the tour. That's pretty fucking impressive, I think.
Yeah.
That's pretty kick-ass. And they went, 50,000 miles, I think, to five continents. And that's got to, I mean, I can't even imagine. You saw in what of the concert footage you saw at 1.5 speed that he was pretty athletic on stage too.
Oh yeah,
for some dude in his 50s, it was Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about him for a minute. The dude is just, his voice is ridiculous. Am I not? I mean, he can sing, but it is a ridiculous voice. He can belt the shit out like an opera singer, and people get off on it. Sometimes I kind of laugh at it, but it doesn't mean I'm not impressed. The dude's impressive. He's a pilot. He's doing that at 50. He's like a world-class fencer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I guess he's ranked like number 30 in Britain or something. So he's definitely got all of your and my ambition when he was born.
I like his little humble brag at the end of the movie. I guess if we've changed some lives and we made some people happy, I guess we could feel pretty good when we die.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's got to be hard when you've got that many people. I mean, they got fucking mobbed at airports and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the one in Chile, it seemed almost dangerous.
Yeah.
That they were banging on the glass, and there's a hotel somewhere. I decide if I'm ever in Argentina and Iron Maiden's there, I'm not going to stay at their hotel.
But I was impressed overall just with how they seemed to be, like I said, just decent people.
Yes,
they didn't
yes.
seem to be on a rock star trip, and they seemed to understand that they were lucky to have this life.
Mm-hmm.
And they treated people basically with respect. I don't know, one of the guitarists at one point was like, when we're in our hotel, you have to leave us alone, you know, like when we're out, you can do whatever you want. So like, obviously it was, you know, that was rough on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very, very soft spoken. A lot of the members of the band, I thought, and kind of introverted, they seemed like, except for the drummer who was kind of wacky and and one of the guitar players. But I was happy
to be in front of the camera. The one guitar player that seemed pretty happy to be in front of the camera didn't actually have that much camera time. The guy that was lost.
He's the newest guy. Like when I saw him, it was just two guitars, and they added him. It's I don't know when in the 90s, I think at some point.
He looks like Michael McKean from Spinal Tap.
Yeah, he does. And he's doing all the flipping his guitar around on stage and stuff. Yeah, another extrovert. I was mostly, I don't know, mostly overall, it gave me a respect for them anyway. You don't have to necessarily like them. That's what good rockumentaries do, I think. You know, a lot of people say that Metallica one's really a good watch. I just hate Metallica so much. I don't know if I'd ever see it, but. It gave me respect for them, at least. You know,
I think it didn't make me like their music more than I did before I started watching the documentary. But I definitely liked the people in it. I think the lead singer is the only guy who might be a little bit
full of himself.
Yeah, but everybody else seems relatively awesome.
Yeah. Well, like I said, his ass piloting a plane around the world, and
I bet the co-pilot's doing most of the work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then when he isn't piloting, he's bugging the shit out of the manager.
The manager was pretty cool too. Was it? I don't remember who it was. Like the tour manager, he was saying it was his last one, and I guess he'd been saying that for, you know, the past 30 years. I thought that was kind of.
Well, it seemed like he was really leaving on that day, though. I guess it was the tour manager, yeah. And he was the one that spelled the most curse words of the entire movie.
Yeah, for what that's worth.
I usually give a count.
The production manager, I guess he was.
I like when each country had something funny to start. Not each, but a lot of, like, when they first got to Japan, the drummer was talking about how excited he was. And he's like, look, I have a Yakuza samurai tattoo.
Yeah, they're as big a nerds as their fans, who are pretty nerdy. There was a... that one guy in Brazil who was a priest.
Oh man, I wrote down how he described he has a tattoo on his chest where the
Eddie the mascot.
Eddie the mascot is depicted as if he's tied and trapped on his chest. And he says, "I have Eddie tied down to my nipples and belly button, and when I move a bit, he tries to escape."
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I think it said at the beginning they sold like 70 million records or something, which is like phenomenal for not getting any airplay or you know, being on TV or whatever.
Yeah, and having 11-minute songs on all their albums.
Yeah. I liked some of the crowd stuff, especially in Central America, like when they were talking to audience members. And,
yeah, I really like that. I like that. It was really shocking. I think it was Colombia how emotionally affected that audience was. And it was more than just one person.
Yeah, no, it was, you could see all the people around him crying. I mean, they showed the one guy who caught the drumstick, I guess, and he was just like basically weeping, but
then everybody around him was, but even before the show, one of the guys is like, I can't help it. I know I'm going to cry. I guess I'm a sensitive guy. And it's just like, wow, they really get into it.
Well, it makes you realize. I mean, like the one guy in Costa Rica said, you know, we didn't think we'd ever see him because we live in the ass of the world. And, you know, they talk about one guy who quit his job to get in line for the show. And, you know, just how, I don't know, how powerful music is. And, you know, this was like one night's escape from their shitty life, you know, living where they do in Colombia and Costa Rica, they probably don't get a lot of bands coming through, much less their favorite band, you know?
Yeah. So, especially the people in Chile who were robbed of their visit in the 80s.
Right. Oh, yeah, because
satanic stuff.
The Catholic Church
stopped it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really liked, I liked that stuff, and I wish it had been more of that than like you said,
the concert footage. Everywhere they went, I think it would have been more interesting to hear more from the audience. I mean, they had a little bit in Australia. They had a little bit everywhere, but more, I think, I would have enjoyed more.
Yeah, and I mean, especially because they went to some pretty cool places. You know, they went to India.
Places I wouldn't necessarily have expected to have such a huge fan base, but they did.
Yeah, Malaysia, I think, and yeah, just crazy.
Japan.
Yeah, Japan, that backwards country that knows nothing of pop culture.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wish there had been some more of that, but it was...
I don't know if I'm too sensitive to this kind of junk, but I thought that the introduction to Mexico was a little bit weird and kind of, almost offensive.
Oh, like, I don't... You're going to have
to refresh
my memory.
Before they get there, he's talking about, we're going to Latin America, there might be explosions or something like that, but then they're showing the streets of Mexico, and it's mostly kind of dirty stuff, and the last shot they show are two dogs fucking.
Oh yeah, I didn't get that two dogs fucking thing either, just doing it in the street.
But I have to say that I never thought I would thank God so much for mariachi music before that scene. I was like, oh, this is nice little break.
Jesus Christ, Pat. Grow some balls. Well, you know, I get it. Like, heavy metal as a genre, I think, is mostly pretty conservative music. I think it's up there with country as fairly conservative in its stand. You know, there's a lot of sexism and you know, just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Let's get out there and party and, you know, just dipshittery. I guess associated with it all, but I think these guys are liberal in their politics. If you listen to their songs, you'd probably see. Although they have a couple misogynistic lyrics too. They are a heavy metal band after all.
And it seems like in the U.S. and Canada, they don't say metal as much as, but Latin America, that was, everybody said, I love metal. Metal is my religion. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's almost embarrassing to say in the States. And I think, you know, it's because it gets ghettoized as music, and, you know, rock critics and the hip people aren't going to admit to liking it. And in a way I find that kind of strange. Like I said, there are conservative elements to heavy metal overall, I guess, but it's also very much working class music. That's the fan base. And I, you know, you get a lot of, when I'm talking about critics and stuff, I'm talking about liberals, and we're both liberal. But you get a lot of disdain for that music. And after a while I start to see it as kind of a disdain for the working class and
for the people listening to the music,
yeah,
as much,
yeah,
as for the music. Yeah,
exactly. And I have to take issue with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very condescending and just bullshit, I think. So I've been listening to heavy metal a bit lately, and there's a lot of bad shit out there, but there's some, I mean, I can listen to it too. There's a lot of stuff that I can see why people would get hyped up about. And I don't know.
I have good things to say about the music itself, but once the singing starts, I just want to, I just want to find that robot and have him use that ray gun.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you can't deny the dude can sing, but
Yeah,
his
but you
voice is
can.
just so ridiculous.
Yeah, but you, I find the guitar playing really impressive, just and the drumming, but both those things are crazy.
Oh, the
So
drummer is amazing, yeah.
he has a huge drum set. I mean, there must be 50 things he's hitting all at the same time. It's like,
And you can't even see him from the
no.
audience. He's buried behind a wall of drums,
Yeah.
basically. Yeah, the stage show was very over the top, and
Yeah, they had at the end of the movie, and end of this documentary, they showed one of the more interesting set pieces where there is a, I guess, 10 or 12 foot tall,
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie was.
Yeah.
So that was Eddie
Yeah, that's
with
their
some kind
mascot.
of eyepiece and a ray gun walking on the stage and kind of joining in the festivities. And they show Eddie Cam,
Yeah,
so you can
from his
see
eyes,
his
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah, when I saw them in 84, it was a giant mummy, Eddie.
Okay.
Yeah, that was their thing at that time. This Eddie from this one was from Somewhere in Time album from 86. It was like a futuristic cover where he was, he looked like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's goofy, but you can see why people get into it. It's spectacle,
Yeah.
And like you said, the playing is very the musicianship is very impressive. Good. Well, at least I'm glad you didn't totally hate it, and it wasn't torture for you to watch.
No, I mean the Talking Heads are really interesting. What's Steve Harris, is that
Yeah, the bass player. Yeah.
the guy that kind of runs the band? The fact that he brings all his kids along, that's nice.
Yeah, that was nice too. Yeah. I mean,
And that drummer just cracked me up. And every single meal they showed him eating, he was eating pizza. That was
that's true.
hilarious.
In every country, didn't matter.
Yeah,
India, he was even
yeah,
commenting on the pizza. Oh, this
yeah.
is.
It was some. I forget what there was one country he had the pizza and he was like, I don't know if I like the really strong cheeses, so I don't know if I'm gonna like this. And he ate, oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say, if you're not a heavy metal fan, you can watch it and just skip through the concert scenes. I think it's
I think it's yeah. I think anyone would enjoy it to see their story, and especially the fact that he's flying the plane. It's a different sort of tour, so it is a different sort of story you're watching.
Yeah, it's not just a typical rock band on tour
And the
documentary.
in some countries the fan reaction, I wish we saw more of it, but the fan reaction is it's kind of remarkable how big they are in those
Oh, yeah,
countries.
I mean it borders on scary sometimes looking at it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Now, one thing I noticed is that none of the other countries, when they showed the crowd shot, were there as many cell phones as there were in America.
Oh yeah, well,
But I
they
don't think it's a class thing either, because Canada didn't have as many either. It just must be a thing we do here that other countries don't do, because there was like a sea of people taking pictures with cell phones at the show in LA, but the show in Toronto, there was just maybe one or two.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it's as much a class thing as a culture thing, and we've got to be fucking stimulated every goddamn second of the day.
No, they're not using their cell. They're using their cell phones to record the
Right.
show. So everybody has theirs up.
Right. So yeah. Well, that's a cultural thing too. For God's sake, don't ever be present in the fucking moment,
Yeah.
but record it for later
I
and
heard that the yeah's don't like that. So they say, we're going to stand here and you can take our picture and video all you want, but once the show starts, put the fucking phones away.
Yeah, same with Savage's new kind of post-punk band. They do the same thing, no cell phones. And may I mention Prince at his concert, no cell phone
Oh,
policy, although there were people with cell phones all over the place.
yeah, but if Prince found you, he would not
Well,
hesitate to taking you out.
security would walk up and tell people, put that shit away. Security scares me at concerts.
I think with like the Savages and yeah's, they're probably doing it because they want everyone to have a good time. Prince doesn't want his image recorded by someone that he hasn't approved.
Yeah, because it's stealing his soul. Yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly the thing behind it with them. I think that is the idea, to be present and fucking enjoy this moment that you paid for, and we're giving you a show. Be here and accept it.
Right.
Which I'm cool with. I think that's a good philosophy. Now, if we can
You're
just.
saying security scares you?
Yeah. Well, oh, shit. Well, that was one thing in this documentary, too, in Colombia. That was pretty scary. They had the military out, basically,
Yeah.
for crowd control, which.
And the one guy was like, the army doesn't like metal. The army doesn't
Right.
like metal. So I don't know if you're talking about the metal in his belts or the metal that they're playing, but maybe both.
Yeah, I think it was. He probably meant metal fans, or metal in general,
Right.
and by
Yeah.
extension, they're fans. So they,
But I
but
noticed they took everybody's belts away. So I guess they were afraid too much of that. They just have to use those belts. They didn't want to have a mass suicide.
from the music, is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, just a little unfair
Good one.
criticism. Oh,
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring up security. They're always like so beefy and burly and surly. I saw Sugar at the Fillmore in '92, and it was I was like drunk, and it was the only time I crowd surfed. I got up on people's hands, and they just like you have no control in that situation. I don't know if you've ever done it, but they just pushed me right over the barricade to the stage, and then security was like, "Better get the fuck out of here. I'm gonna beat your ass next time." Whatever. I was like, dude, obviously, I'm not lunging for the band or anything,
Right. Well,
So.
I get you gotta feel they have to put that front up for everybody because you're not the guy that goes is going to go for the stage, but the guy that is, they have to intimidate him before he even tries
Oh, now we're standing up for police states. I guess we are in
it.
cloud cuckoo land. You got any interesting happenings going on in your life or anything to talk about?
No, how about you?
No, I'm pretty fucking boring, man.
I thought, John, I thought for sure that was a lead up to something huge.
You thought incorrectly, my friend.
As usual.
No. Well, we can discuss what we want to do for the next episode. I think we have a few ideas. You want to do
I think for to mix it up a little bit, I think we should go for TV next time instead of movies.
TV. All right. God damn it. And you mentioned some animated show, and I haven't even looked to find an old animated show. Any other TV ideas you got?
We have the Arrested Development soap.
Oh yeah, we could do Arrested Development. Soap. Shit. I'll have to find I'll find a good episode of Soap so you can get the DVD or rent the DVD and watch it. That sounds like a good one. Soap versus Arrested Development for the next one.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. So look out for that, everybody.
Yeah, beware. And I think we're finally this is finally going up on iTunes. This is our ninth damn episode and we haven't put anything up yet, but I think we're finally gonna put the first three up
Yep, and
this
but
week.
you saying that when the people hear this episode that they'll have gotten it from iTunes, so I don't think it's really useful to
Well, you know my feelings on the people hearing this episode.
it. You love them with all your heart. Oh, what did you think of the Man of Steel? I'm sure you saw it.
You know I didn't see it.
Oh, you did, and I
Was it
am
any good?
shocked. It was okay. I was good,
Oh,
but
that's
it.
bad coming from you because you are the superhero movie aficionado.
No, I think if it was another character, I would have liked it more. There's some things they did with the character that didn't exactly fit. So I enjoyed the movie, but I was just like, this isn't Superman wouldn't do. Like, he's fighting the bad guy in the movie, and he's basically letting the buildings fall on Metropolis instead of moving the fight to outer space. It just seems like that's what Superman would do. So it just felt like he didn't have enough empathy for the humans he was basically saving, but. That's my little gripe.
I fell asleep.
I didn't. I watched the
Oh, I
whole
just meant during your description.
movie.
Yeah, Superman, I mean, Superman's kind of boring. There's no inner conflict there, He's too good.
No, I think they did a good job of creating more conflict than you're used to. They made it more into a science fiction movie, which it would really make you go, I'm sure, than a this is just a comic book movie. They kind of brought in the Krypton into it more, so it's not like he was super powered stopping muggers.
Well, I see rarely see movies in theaters. I saw Before Midnight. I kind of want to see This Is the End.
Yeah, it looks funny.
So
And comedies, I feel like comedies and action movies are both movies that are better to see in theaters, because with action movies, because of the big screen and all the sound, but with comedies, when you're seeing it with a lot of other people, you can laugh with them, and it actually makes it funnier.
It does. Although one thing that bothers me about seeing movies in theaters is inappropriate laughter from the audience. Like when they laugh at the wrong thing, it makes me uncomfortable.
It does. When they're laughing at it, like if you're watching, I don't know, a movie that's making fun of the racist guy and they're laughing with the racist guy, that is kind of rough.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me despair for humanity even more than I normally do. Yeah.
I just tell myself they're all high.
That was another idea I had, by the way. I think for one episode, people should know I don't get high, but I was thinking for one episode, it'd have to be something really dumb. I would get high and maybe you would get drunk and we would do an episode like that. I'd like to see how that would work out.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't want to encourage anybody to do any. Wait, I thought when you got high, you got paranoid.
Well, that's why I don't get high, but
I don't think that would be fun. You'd be like, how are you talking to me? Are you in my head?
I'm thinking that now and I'm sober. I think, no, if I'm in the right frame of mind, like I'll get high once a year, once every 2 years, just so I don't get like cocky about it. But
so you keep in practice.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not always bad. It's just if I did it with any kind of frequency, it would turn bad, and you know, I'd have it in my head that it's always going to be horrible. So yeah, we should. That would be fun. Can you drink?
I can drink like once a week. So.
Oh, okay, perfect.
But not really to get super drunk.
Well, I mean, you just have to be a little buzzed, I think.
Yeah.
It would be fun. We don't want to.
I'm drunk right now.
We don't want to be.
Power.
Did I ever tell you that joke? It's one of my favorite jokes. So fucking stupid. All right, here, I'll tell it. Did you hear about the new Chinese-German restaurant that just opened up?
No, I haven't, John.
Oh, you go and eat. You go in and eat, and you come out, and an hour later, again, you're hungry. For power! I kind of butchered the telling, but it's all in the delivery of the last line.
Yeah, all that matters is the for power.
Yeah. So, that's a free one to all of you who are bad at remembering jokes like I am. That's an easy one to remember.
Oh, I had a funny character. I can't remember what he is anymore, though. Oh, he was
must have been
who,
hilarious, then.
A guy who he likes buzzwords, but he keeps them forever. I guess it's not that funny because people are actually like that. What's up? That guy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's actually sad because I think a lot of people wouldn't get it because, like you said, they are like that. They keep, you know, there's a lot of, you go, girl. They still think that shit's funny, you know? I mean, I like that one because I am a strong, beautiful black woman. But it's kind of dopey
too
when.
Far. Maybe pretty. I don't know if we go with beautiful.
Well, there goes my self-confidence for the day. Go look in the mirror and cry for an hour.
I had a funny interaction this weekend.
Oh, do tell.
I was out in a coffee shop and Billy Joel came on the radio in the place, and the guy I was with started singing the song, and then he stopped, and I just met him recently, and he's like, my sister used to listen to Billy Joel all the time when I was a kid. I was like, all right. Like, it felt like he was explaining himself. I was like, it just made it so it's in your head, so you have to sing along. He's like, no, it's defensive. I can't stand the song, so I sing it out loud to make it so I'm not hearing him sing.
Either that's the most convoluted defense of him liking Billy Joel that there ever was, or it's a very odd coping mechanism.
I think maybe he was just embarrassed that he sang along to Billy Joel and he wanted to make it clear he didn't like him. I was like, all right.
I mean, that's some, I'm not a fan of Billy Joel either, but that's some world-class hatred when you got to sing in your own voice to cover up his. But if anybody was deserving.
Yeah. Billy Crystal is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he is.
And Jack Nicholson.
We haven't talked about Jack Nicholson for a while. I guess because he doesn't do jack shit except go to Lakers games.
Yeah. Oh, this with this next episode, we're going to talk about soap. That means we're going to have Billy Crystal at his best. Near his best.
Yeah, before before he got famous and turned into a total dick.
Yeah.
And got very hacky. I mean, maybe he was hacky then, but it was a sitcom, so he didn't go too far with it.
I don't think he was hacky in that role. It was understated.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one. So Soap versus Arrested Development next time. You will pick the Arrested Development episode, I assume?
Sure. Do you want to do new series or old?
Up to you, man. Whatever you want.
All right.
I've seen it all, so. All right. Well, then, I guess that's about it for this one. I'm excited for these things to go up on iTunes.
As am I.
Nine weeks in the past.
We look forward to any and all suggestions from listeners, games you think we should play. If you have anything you'd like us to talk about, please send an email to popculturecontinuum@gmail.com and let us know.
And we're setting up, a Facebook group and a Twitter, too. Although I'm not a fan of Twitter. I probably won't do much on there. But
it's there.
Yeah, it's there. So, you know, it's got to be. This is 2011.
Oh, so. I thought it was 12. Shoot, I owe my bills.
What was I going to say? That's a good thing to bring up too. Since we're saying we're just now putting them up after this many episodes. If you've been emailed us and suggested some games or things for us to do and we haven't done them yet, it's just because we're that far behind on putting this shit up. So. We will listen to people's suggestions and we'll, I'm sure, read emails on air and stuff once this is all going.
In character.
Yeah, I'll read as Pat, and Pat will read as Pat Morita. I don't know why I went with another Pat for that one.
Ah, so.
Patrick Dempsey.
Let's end it now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.